We are not perfection. We are on the way. The Holy Spirit is in your heart, in my heart. We're walking day by day. We're growing. We may be slow, but we're growing. God is making us more and more into the image of his only begotten Son, day by day. So we actually become a witness to the world if they care about watching.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse through the Bible. Jesus prays for Himself as our study of John continues in chapter 17. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every individual to his own, and shall leave me alone," meaning all by myself. "And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." You're all going to run away. You're all going to, tonight, you're going to be good. You're going to leave me. And then verse 33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me," in Jesus Christ, "in me, you might have peace." There's peace only in Jesus Christ. In the world, you shall have tribulation. This is a promise. This is not just things, these aren't things he's saying because he can't think of nothing else to say or anything else to say. I guess the proper grammar. He knows there's all kinds of things to say, but he wants you and me and these guys to hear this. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." He has overcome the world. We've got this, everybody. We've got it. Do you expect trials and troubles to come? Jesus said so first, and America's just backing it all up with the press releases. Sure, trouble's here. Sure, trouble is coming. These words spake Jesus, or Jesus spoke, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify you," thee. "And as thou hast given him power over all flesh," in other words, he's overcome the whole world, "over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." The hour has come. Remember how many times he said, "My hour is not yet"? They tried to arrest him. They couldn't. Why? Because my hour is not yet. The hour hasn't come. But it's coming. He told his mother at the very first miracle he did, the wedding at Cana. He goes, "My hour is not yet come. My hour is not yet. It's not time. It will happen, Mom." And he was really kind to her. She hoped that everybody would see he was the Son of God, but that didn't do it. But he says, "The hour has arrived. The time has come." For what? For Jesus to be put to death. That's what he came for. Now, you and me, we showed up and we've been trying to live. We've been trying to grab for all the gusto we can get, have all the fun, be happy and dance and sing and never have anything go wrong and never be sick and never be poor and always be, what? That's what we're all about. That's what humans are built to be. It's our fallen nature. It's time for Jesus to be put to death. You are listening to God the Son praying to his Father. The appointment of God's divine plan of redemption. The alarm bell just rang, and Jesus says, "Here it is. This is the appointment that I came for. This is the time that you, this is what you sent me here for. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." You know, when you think about God Almighty in human flesh praying to the Father, you think it's going to be so amazing, so holy. Maybe, no, Notice what happens. It comes straight from his heart. Jesus is at this very moment that he's praying this, headed out to be arrested. He's going toward the Garden of Gethsemane. He will pray there. In Gethsemane, they will come and arrest him. That's where he's headed. In other words, he's headed toward the cross. If he does not rise from the dead, the world will see he's just an ordinary man like all the rest of mankind, and he's nothing special, and he's not who he claimed to be if he does not rise from the dead. True? That's what he's praying. That's what he says, glorify your son. I'm placing myself, I've always been in your hands, but I'm in your hands now. Here we go. Let's do this. But when God glorifies him, meaning raises him from the dead, it will prove to the whole world that Jesus is the Messiah, the true Son of God, the true Savior of the whole world, not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles, of the whole world. There is no other God. The Buddhists, they'll worship this. The Confucianists, they'll worship that. The Taoists and the Islamists, et cetera, worship all these different kinds of gods and different sorts of gods. But there is only one true God. And that one true God is God Almighty. And Jesus Christ is his only begotten Son. The Trinity is made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is only one true God. When God glorifies him, what that means is he will raise him from the dead and the world will see it. And then everybody's going to have to make their own decision about that. True? And this is eternal life. Now, everybody, keep in mind, Jesus is not talking to me and you now. He is praying to the Father. Listen to this. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, all the flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's important. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And now, Father, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I want my place back, the place that is mine, the place that I left, willingly becoming flesh and coming to the earth, doing what you sent me to do. And now, Father, O Father, glorify me. You glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was even created. Jesus is claiming to be eternal there, isn't he? How many of you have heard that Jesus never claimed to be God? I hear pastors still preach that on the radio, and we're going verse by verse. How many times have we seen that, yes, he said he was God and co-equal with God and God in human flesh? How many times in the Gospel of John alone? Oh my goodness, you lose count. How can you miss it? Easy, because you don't want to see it there. That's how it works. Jesus gives what I would call a simple definition of how we get eternal life. And this is eternal life. What? Knowing God and Jesus Christ, and the language is personally. What do I mean? Let me read you the verse again so you understand it. And this is, verse 3, and this is life eternal, or this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So here it is, kind of sort of a definition of how to get eternal life. Knowing God and Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, personally. Notice, not know about God, not know about Jesus, but having a personal relationship with God. God the Father, through faith and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. How many people do you know that don't, that are not born again, will tell you they believe in God? Many peoples do. People say, well, I believe in God, but I believe He's a spaceman living on a planet we haven't even discovered yet. Oh, okay. You're not born again. You're judging me. No, I'm just telling you what the Bible says at this point. I'm just telling you exactly what the Bible says. Many people say it. I hear people say it when they want to argue Scripture. When they'll say, I haven't received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I'm going to heaven. Well, the Bible says, no, you're not. Well, I am. See, I believe in God. That seems to be the end all to the whole question. Well, I believe in God. That's not what the Bible says. James chapter 2, verse 19, you know this. He's talking to Christians or to the people that are saying they're Christians. You believe that there is one God. You do well, or good for you. The demons also believe and they tremble. At least the demons go a step further. They know God is real and they know they can't have eternal life. They believe in Him and they're not going to heaven. Just because you believe in God, that doesn't change a thing. He says, and I love the language. Now, can you remember that he is still praying to God? This has got nothing to do with me and you. We are listening to the prayers of the Son of God to God. We shouldn't even be hearing this, but he did it for us. It helps us. So listen, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. What? Wait, what? The language here is clear. It's not a mistake. Jesus is speaking to the Father right now as if he's already suffered and died and risen again. Isn't he? That's exactly what he just said. In Jesus' mind, it's a done deal. In God's mind, it's done. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Past tense. It's as good as done. It's in the heart of God. Count it done. Do you know you are as good as in heaven right now? You understand that, right? Your body's still here, but we're hidden with Jesus Christ in eternity, right? You're going to be there by grace through faith. Just be sure that you have surrendered. I have surrendered. We've surrendered our hearts to Him. That's the key. And you say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. There's a danger there. There's a danger there because you think, well, my parents told me I was saved. Okay, well, good. Are you? Because it's your heart. It's not theirs. They can't buy it. They can't lease it for you. They can't help you with it. They can encourage you. They can lead you. But sooner or later, as you get to whatever late age it is for you, you make the decision sooner or later. Now, if you train up a child, a boy or a girl, in the way they should go, if you keep them in the Word, when they get older, they will not depart from it. That doesn't mean they won't go astray. That doesn't mean they might not be a prodigal daughter or prodigal son. It happens all the time. Yet, if they're true sons and daughters, they will always come home like the prodigal son did. Now, before Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible says, he was there in heaven with the Father in the position that he's always been, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's always been, for all eternity, the Son of God. He didn't become the Son of God when he was born. He has always been for eternity the Son of God. He said that already. Before he became flesh and dwelt among us, he was there in heaven with the Father. He has always been there with the Father. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus was there in heaven throughout eternity. Before, Jesus mentions it, before the earth, before all creation, he says, that's where I was. So listen to Philippians. It makes Philippians come a little more clearer to us. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Let this mind be in you, Christian, which was also in Christ Jesus, or Messiah Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let me say it another way. He existed from all eternity in the form of God, God the Son. He hasn't always been in human flesh. He's in the form of God, Spirit. So who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. God the Son emptied himself. When you read in Philippians, he made himself of no reputation. The language in the Greek is he emptied himself. Another way to say it is, and this is really good, he divested himself. He's God the Son, yet he willingly became flesh and gave up, not being God the Son, but took on the limitations of being in a physical body. There are a lot of limitations to this. You've been walking around in it. Notice them? He made himself of no reputation, literally emptied himself, divested himself, and he took upon him the form, instead of the form of God, which he was, he took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. All to glorify his Father and to save every one of us. But it's up to you and me to say yes or no. It counts for me only because he called me and I said, yes, Lord. It counts for you only because he called and he said, come. And you said, yes, Lord. And I don't even have the strength to come. And he helped you on over. Jesus Christ chose to take the place of weakness, lowliness, physical flesh. Breaks easily, gets sick. You can't drop it very many places or you'll lose it. Human flesh. He chose to step down from that height which belonged to him. That's what he said. I'll read it again. You think I'm making this up? I know you do. And now, O Father, glorify, or you glorify me with your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was created. That's amazing to me. He chose to take the place of weakness and lowliness. He chose to step down from that height, from being the Son of the living God, God is Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God. He chose to step down from that place where he belonged to. Even, he says, the glory which he had with the Father before the world was created. And he took a servant's form to do the Father's will. You know, I was looking today and I was amazed at how many pastors are millionaires. And you don't see that a lot through Scripture. Not a sin to be a millionaire, but you don't see it a lot. In fact, God came so low that he was born in a barn. And he could have been born in any palace in the world, wherever he chose. And he could have been born to a family who really, they didn't have to be rich. They could have been well-to-do. And he could have lived in Jerusalem, or maybe even Jericho, the city of palms, was a beautiful, beautiful place. But no, he was born in Bethlehem by choice, willingly. And think about this, everyone. He was a carpenter, and carpenters made no money, and he was poor. He didn't have anything through his whole ministry except what someone gave him. Others took care of God while he was here. They donated to his ministry. He didn't buy a $1 million home. He didn't have a jet. He could have used one of those. So do you think maybe there's something wrong nowadays? Maybe so. Maybe so. He chose to step down from that height. He gave up that glory which he had with the Father before the world was created. And he took a servant's form. Jesus said it. It wasn't whining. It wasn't complaining. There was a young man, and we all do, young guys and young girls, we get excited about following Jesus, right? Remember when you got saved? I'll do anything for it. What do you want me to do? I'll do anything. I'll stand on my head. I'll eat a bug. What do you want me to do? And what does he say? Follow me. Well, remember that young man? He says, Lord, man, I just saw this. I saw the miracle. I just saw the stuff. I'm paraphrasing. That's all. You ascertain that from what the man says. He saw it, and he said, I'll follow you anywhere. Anywhere you go, I'm going with you. I want to go. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going. And Jesus didn't say you're not welcome. What did he say? Fish, the birds have nests. The foxes have holes. But the Son of Man, God Almighty in human flesh, has nowhere to sleep tonight. Now, if you want to be a part of that gig, come on. I'm paraphrasing. He said, that was up to the young man. You know, well, we don't know what happened, so I love to say in my mind. And that guy said, I don't care. If you're not eating, I'm not eating. I'm just going to be with you, right? Isn't that what we said? It doesn't matter to me, Lord. I want to get married. Well, I want you to stay single. Then we're single it is, right? It doesn't matter. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Well, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I don't really need to lay my head. I slept last month, Lord. Let's just do this. Isn't that your heart right now? It doesn't matter, Lord. Stop it snowing a little bit. We'll be good. Jesus prays this. Glorify me together with yourself. Now, that's King James language. So let me say it in more like in American. He says, glorify me together with yourself. Literally meaning, glorify me in your presence in heaven. I'm coming back. They're kicking me out, Lord. Father God, I'm coming back. I would like that glory. That was mine. Just to be with you in your presence in heaven. Let me say it another way. Let my original glory, which I shared with you before I became flesh, let that be resumed. Did God do that? Yes, he's glorified. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. How do you know? Me and you. John had a revelation. Whether it was in the spirit or in the body or out, I don't know. Whether I was in the spirit or my body was there, I can't tell you. But this I can tell you. I saw the Lord, you know, and he was right there sitting on the throne. And I saw one that was like a lamb that had been slain. And he was the glory of God, right? And they worshiped and they fell down before the lamb. Remember all that? Glorify me together with yourself. Glorify me in your presence in heaven. Let my original glory, which I shared with you before I became flesh, let that be resumed. This clearly teaches Jesus is the Messiah, saying he's the Messiah, saying he's co-equal with God, and it clearly teaches and refutes the false teaching that Jesus became the Son of God when he was born here. No, listen, this clearly teaches the pre-existence of Jesus Christ in eternity, doesn't it? You can't get around the language. Before his miraculous birth in Bethlehem, we're reading of his pre-existence in heaven as the Son of God with the Father.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.